All right, praise God. You guys good? All right, God is good all the time. God is good. That's right. Welcome to Christ Community Church. I'm glad you guys are here. Every day that we get, every time we get to gather, right, and be with His church, His people, it really is a blessing. So I'm glad to see you all here. We are in week four of a series that we kicked off at our anniversary service. It's called I Love My Church, and we've been focusing a lot on what God intended for the church and how He sacrificed. Clearly, He loves the church, right? He sent His Son to die for the church, and that means every one of you, even when there's times that you don't feel like you are worthy of being loved, even though there's times when you feel like you're not good enough, that's always the mindset that we have as human beings, that we have to earn it, that it's through our works that we're going to be loved. But what we're learning in this series is that, number one, God loves the church, right? And secondly, that God loves you. And the other thing we're working on is, how do we work, Lord? How do we love our church? How do we love each other? And what does that look like? We've been covering a lot of different points from this campaign and in this series is a reminder of how important every single person is here in the room. Everybody, every member of the church is like a part of the body, that it's essential for it to function. And God is calling us into a deeper relationship with Him, but also deeper relationship with each other. Amen? And so today we're going to be spending some time. And you guys probably looked ahead because I covered it in the first week, first 2 weeks. I gave you guys an outline of what we're going to be talking about. Last week we covered the topic of we love the church by serving, right? To get plugged in, we learned that you have gifts, talents, and abilities and spiritual gifts that are meant to edify the church. Now, I gave you guys a list of what those look like, but it's like anything else, right? You need to exercise that gift. You need to use that gift. Don't just put it away, but use it for God's glory. Amen? So today we're going to be focusing on, and the title of today's sermon is, I Love My Church by Giving. I Love My Church by Giving. And whenever we talk about giving, whenever we talk about material, it makes people nervous. Right off the bat, I say, I love my church by giving. Some of you guys hid your purse behind, right? The guys kind of grabbed their wallet and said, what do you mean? I came to the wrong service. I should have come next week, right? When it was about sharing. But today is about giving. Listen, I'm always going to say this. I'm going to say it over and over and over again, because this is not the kind of church that's going to pressure you ever, and I mean this, ever, ever to give. And you're like, what do you mean? We can go home now? No, right? Because you do have to give. But it's always in the context of how you're giving. Listen, the church, and especially, I'm just going to be honest with you because I'm going to keep saying this, and this is not a kind of like what you may not hear this. That you may hear at some other places that you need to give and this and that, or we're trying to do this building. I was, you know what? God owns it all anyway, right? And I always say it this way. You get to participate in building the kingdom here. You get to participate in what God is doing. God owns it all anyway. 100% of what you have in your wallet, 100% of what you have stored up at home, 100% of those stacks of cash that you have in your safe at home, it all belongs to God anyway. Your life belongs to God anyway. So you have a choice. What are you going to do with it? You're going to hoard it. You're going to say, oh, this is mine, my precious. It's mine. Right? Or you're going to what? You're going to give it to God. You have a choice to make. What are you going to do with your life? You think that your life is your own? It's not, right? You think that you can magically breathe life? I mean, think about that. I would say how beautiful it is to recognize life for what it is. It is a gift from God. I think about 2 months ago, I had Matthew lay on the floor over here. You guys remember that? When I said, be dead. You're dead. Don't move. And then I kind of just said, like, we did a little a visual, right? What it means for God to breathe in life to you. That He gives it freely. And that if we call ourselves Christians, that God is calling us to be, that we're Christ-like. And that we're meant to be imitators. And so we're meant to give as well. I know this one's always, and I'm going to keep saying this, but God wants us to do something awesome, right? Through the church, through the body. There's no plan B. This is plan A. Plan A for the gospel is look around. Look at the person next to you right now. You see them? Look in the white of their eyes and tell them, you're plan A. And then the other thing you tell them, I love you. Oh, look at that. See? It's okay. The little kiss is good too. Some of you guys were tempted. I saw it. I was like, man, I'm looking into my sweetheart, my darling's eyes, you know? It's okay. There's a place for affection, right? If you can't show affection in the church, you can't show it anywhere. Amen? So it's okay if you sneak in a little smooch here and there. But pay attention though, okay? Don't lose focus. Don't get distracted, okay? But God wants to do something amazing. You're plan A. There's no plan B. You're important to the body of Christ. You matter in the body. Today we're going to learn about what it means to give, right? Because the culture that we live in is very what? The culture that we live in, is it very giving? No, right? I'm going to make those shirts one day, Henry. What does the shirt say? I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? We're going to make the shirts, and we're going to say like repent on the back or something, right? It'll say that in the front, on the back it's going to say repent from that. But there's a movie that was pretty pretty popular among the kids. I have four kids. I watch every Disney movie there is, even the bad ones. Play that clip, brother, of what the culture's like. That's the culture of today, right? It's very selfish. It's all about me. I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? I'm going to show you. I always say, listen, if you're busy on your Instagram and your Facebook, I'm not here to shame you, right? And we're really interested in all that you have to wait on all your outfits. We love it, and everything you have to eat. But that's just, listen, it's not all about you, right? And the culture that we live in is it's all about me all the time. I'll just be honest with you. Now, what we sang about today, that last song we talked about, is like, no, we need Jesus to transform our hearts, right? We need to have him work in our hearts and our minds, because, man, nobody has to teach you to love yourself. I know that's the theme. You're like, okay, well, Pastor, I used to watch Oprah, and Oprah would tell me, I need to love myself. I need to learn to forgive me first. I need to love me before somebody could love me. Does that sound right? Is that how Oprah talks? Not even close, huh? Something. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? The fact is, if we're honest, we already love ourselves kind of a lot. Yeah? Yes, we have flaws. I mean, there's parts of us that is like, if we looked in the mirror and it's like, I wish I didn't have this part, is that just me? I wish I could love me some less of me, you know? But if we're honest, we don't have to. We're hardwired, right? How do you know that you're hardwired to love yourself? How many of you guys have little kids in here? Or have had them? I mean, now your kids are like all grown, big old beards, and right? They smell, and you gotta take a shower. But when they were small, right? Do you remember when you were small, like they're like 1 year old, and then they have something that they like? Like, I love to do this with my kids. I would say, like, they would be eating like gummy bears or something. I was like, can I have one? And they'd be like, have you ever seen that with a little kid? Right? And then one of the words that they learn to say really quickly, like the birds, is to say, it's mine. It's mine. No, Dad, it's mine. And so I love my kids. I do. Right? Like, literally, I'll see them eating, like, have like a bag of chips. And I was like, can I have some chips? And they'll do this. And they'll give me one chip. I'm like, really? I paid for the whole bag. Can I have two at least, you know? Here's the point, right? You don't have to teach a little kid to be selfish. You don't. You have to teach them to be what? To teach them to share, right? Sharing. Share. You say that a lot. And you even say it like that. Share. share. Like, they, why can't you just say share? Huh? Hey, enough of that. Pull the ear. Okay. Last week, my wife said that I talked too much about discipline. I kept quoting Proverbs, don't spare your child from the rod, and they will not perish. But listen, we're hardwired of ourselves. We're hardwired to be selfish. And this is what we're talking about in this sermon. We're going to talk about why loving God and loving the church, if we're honest, is the greatest witness and testimony that we can give, right? If you guys remember what Jesus prayed for, right before he was going to go to the cross, I would say every word that Jesus says is important, amen? But the prayer that he says right before he's going to go to the cross, right before he's going to get arrested, you think that that's important? And he said, listen, I'm going to pray that they would what? That they would love each other the way that I've loved, and that they would have unity. And through that unity, they would know that you have sent me into the world. And so what it's saying is, you heard me say, it's like, it doesn't matter how awesome you think that you are. It doesn't matter how awesome you think that I am. That's not what Jesus said. He says, when they have an awesome teacher, you know, when they have a good pastor, then they will believe that the Father has sent the Son into the world. He didn't say that. He said through the unity and through the love of the church, right? Because that's supernatural, right? Look around. There's people in this room, I always say, like, listen, the love of the church has to be supernatural. Why? Because where two or three people are gathered, Jesus is there. But I'll tell you what else is there. What is it? Oh, it's love for sure. It's unity. Where two or three people are there, without your eyes on Christ, there's what? Oh, there's drama. There's conflict. There's chisme. There's disagreement. Yes or no? Am I preaching fake news today? No, even within your friends, it's like, I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did that. He didn't even call me. Can you believe it? Like, yo, that's how you guys talk too. I see. I should have a little camera in all your cars. Right? Like, man, he's reading my news. He's on my couch. He's watching my TV. He's reading my mail. Right? Let's be honest. But listen, God wants us to love that way because that is supernatural. That we love each other, that we have grace, that we're for each other, we're not against each other, we're here to encourage each other, right? That's different. And that's what we're learning about today, and how God wants us to love the church by giving. So, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a passage of scripture that you guys are probably very familiar with. Some of you guys probably have it memorized. The title of that portion or that section is called The Fellowship of Believers. And Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen? Amen. So the first point from that passage, we're going to break this down. This is obviously the book of Acts. You guys are very familiar with. Shortly before this, Pentecost had happened. This is shortly after, right? And so they're gathering. The church is still in heavy persecution, but God is doing something amazing through them, right? It's talking about the fellowship and the unity and the love that the church had for each other. And so the first thing that we need to take away from this passage is, number one, that loving the church requires us to give ourselves to God and to His people. That loving the church requires us to give ourselves to God and His people. Why? Because if you're not connected to God this way, right, loving your neighbor is going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. And I say this oftentimes, you hear me say this in the context of relationships and friendships. Oftentimes relationships and friendships fail. Why? Because we're looking at the other person. What that person did, they didn't do, and we keep score. You guys keep score, amen? No? Just me? You guys are all liars. No, I'm kidding. keeping score. My pastor called me a liar. I'm not coming back ever. Hate that church. That's okay. But we do keep score, yes? Even in relationships, the person that you love the most, you look at them and say, you keep score. When they take the last of the toilet paper and they don't put a new one, when they leave their socks everywhere, when they don't put their, when you tell them to do something and they don't do it, they forget. You guys know? No? Okay, in the back, there's a sign-up sheet for marriage counseling. That's going to start next week, amen? Because we keep score, right? But you know when we remember, when we give ourselves to God, when we remember how much God has given us, how much He's forgiven us, how much grace He's given us, undeserved grace, it makes it very easy to overlook the small things, right? You guys have probably read the book, Don't Sweat the Small Things, right? 10 ways, there's all kinds of different lists. 10 ways to a more romantic relationship. Y'all, give me that list, Pastor. I'm ready to read that one. 5 more ways to more joy in my friendships. Everywhere you look, right? Isn't there like a list for everything? I'm ready to tell you guys one thing. Number one, the number one thing that you have to do, number one, just love God. Just seek God, and everything else flows from that. Because if you're connected to God and you realize how much Jesus loves you, how much He's given for you, then naturally, right, your overflow is going to be merciful. The overflow is that you're going to be what? Forgiving. The overflow is that you're going to be kind. The overflow is that you're not going to be looking to say, well, if I do this, maybe she'll do that. If I do this, maybe he'll do this. That's not familiar? Then you're just saying, you know, I just love God. God loves me. And I'm going to do what? I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him in my family. I'm going to serve Him in my relationships with my friends. I'm going to serve Him at church. I'm going to serve Him when I'm at work. I'm going to love the way that God loves me. Does that make sense? And so number one, we have to devote ourselves. What did the apostles do? It said, and they what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the NLT version says, and to fellowship, and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The first thing that the early believers gave was themselves. That's an NLT version. Is it on the screen? All right, good job, Stephen. See that? Is Adriana here? Okay. Pay attention. He's doing a good job. The first things that they gave themselves, what? They gave themselves their time, right? They gave their time, their attention, and their devotion to God. And that's what we need to do here, right? Listen, it's going to be very difficult to love your brother and sister if you're not deeply in love with God. And I'll tell you the same thing. It's like, listen, get closer to home. It's going to be very difficult for you to love and to have that kind of marriage, that kind of relationship, the kind of things like people talk about. It's like, well, they like to love each other a lot. Yeah, because we love God. Right? And if you have that kind of marriage, you have that kind of relationship, I always say this, what? Don't take the glory. You're not that good. You're not that good looking. You're not that kind. I was like, oh man, I'm never coming back to this church. The pastor is mean. No, listen, every single one of us in here, we're broken, we're flawed, we're selfish. Yeah, yeah. But what makes us, when you see God working and doing something amazing in our families and our relationship, our home, He gets the glory. He gets the glory. It's not about me. It's not about my wife. It's not even about my kids. It's not about Stephen. Definitely not about Stephen, he said. It's about God and what He's doing. And how He wants to use you, how He invites you to be a part of His church. And how you need to belong. Right? You guys have heard me say this before. I've sang this song at church. I said, I challenged it. I said, no one has ever sang this song, probably on a Sunday. It was a cheers song. You guys remember that? Sometimes where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you, right? You guys remember that song? You guys are old. I'm kidding. I need to stop. You know what it is? It's because Stephanie's not here. And when Stephanie's here, she's like, she gives me the look and it's like, okay, I'm sorry. Repent from all these things that come into my mind. But you know what? It does feel good when you show up and somebody is happy to see you there. It does feel good when you walk up and somebody gives you a hug and somebody sees you and says, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? And then they'll say, are you really doing good? How are you really doing, right? I don't need to see the Instagram version of you. Let me show me the real you, the real stuff that's happening in your life. You have enough Instagram followers, enough Instagram friends. What do we need is we need more intimacy. We need a relationship. We need people who see us and say, listen, flaws and all, man, I will be there for you. I love you. Flaws and all, like I'm going to devote myself to God and I'm going to devote myself to you. That's different. That makes sense? And that's why the church matters. And that's why we give, right? We give ourselves to God and then what? We give ourselves to the church. And then God starts to do some awesome things. The second point from today's passage, right? If we keep reading, it says in 44 and 45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions and property and they gave to everyone who had a need. That means we have to give generously, sacrificially. Generously and sacrificially. Now I know when you guys read that chapter, you're like, you want me to go sell my car? You want me to go sell my house? Listen, I think what we're looking at is like, we need to do so. And at the end of today's sermon, I'm going to challenge you guys on something, right? That there's people that are here in this room that have a need. I'm going to challenge you to say, listen, we're either going to walk or we're not. And if there's a person that has a need, number one, we have to talk about it. Hey, I'm hurting in this area, right? It could be emotional need. It could be relational need. It could even be a financial need. You're like, oh, really? Here you go, get the finances again? Take your money. It's okay. Hide your purse. Hide your wallet again. I'm just being honest. When you see that scripture, I'm going to be honest with you. You're not exempt from it. The church is not exempt from it. You're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have come today. I should have gone to that other church where the pastor is nice. No, listen, we're not exempt from that chapter, guys. It means that we need to share. We need everything in common, right? What do we have? We love Jesus. We love each other. We should have everything in common. If there's a need, if there's a hurt, if there's a pain, the people in this church should be able to fill that need. I'm being honest with you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be the first one that says, listen, if you have a need, we need to talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's put it out there. Let's be okay with opening up these things that we have. You have problems like I have problems. Amen? That's all right. But they had everything in common. They were sharing. And that's what we're saying is like, listen, the church needs to be about it, not just talk about it. So I'm going to challenge you guys at the end of the sermon, give you a little sneak peek. In case you get to, if you want to leave early, it's okay. Right? I know where you live. Man, don't tell Stephanie, okay? She gives me the look. Whenever I go on a tangent, she's like, she loves me. All right? Man, she gives me the googly eyes, okay? But we need to give generously and sacrificially. Listen, what you have doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, right? And he's saying, like, listen, and here's the other thing too, man. So I'll be honest with you. Every single person in here is blessed at something. You have something that you can give, you can contribute. Like, listen, it's not always about like, oh, we're not talking just about money. There's people that have talents, abilities that are handy, that there's people that have needs. There's single moms that have needs, and there's men in the room that could do something about. I'm just saying, does that make sense? It's not always about money. In fact, the biggest need that we have is what we need people, we need time, we need to be seen, we need to be loved, yes? The money is just a side thing. That's like this little thing. It's like, whatever. The church needs to be in relationship with each other, and then we need to be able to give of ourselves, of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures. And if we keep going, number three, and that's going to be in verses 46 and 47, when we do that, right, when we stop just thinking of what's convenient for you, whether you have time, and if you're not tired, and if you don't have all these other things to do, what you start to say is you start to give yourselves to God and you start to devote yourself to your brothers and sisters in the church, something is going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get blessed, right? Listen, I don't care. This happens all the time. That devil is a liar. Yeah? The devil's a liar. He's going to tell you that you don't have time. He's going to tell you that you're tired. He's going to tell you somebody else will go, right? Need to say, get behind me, Satan, right? Like Ethan did to his first grade teacher, talked about last week. You need to rebuke that attitude. Because when we show that kind of love, it brings joy, it brings unity, and it brings growth. And that's the third fill in the blank, the third key point for today's sermon. It brings joy, unity, and growth. And we see that in 46 and 47. It says, every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Listen, God wants to do something, right? Amazing, something supernatural, but it takes getting involved. You know, a lot of us like to watch sports. Who likes to watch football? You, right? I watch it. And a lot of times we're yelling, oh, that coach is so dumb. Why did he do that? I can't believe he's so, you know, yeah? Referees are terrible. Everybody does that, yeah? We're not in the game, though. We're just out on the sideline. We're fans, spectators. God is inviting you to get into the game, to help build up his kingdom, to participate, to be a part of his hands and his feet, to serve his church. Does that make sense? And when you show up, isn't it amazing? When God something through the unity and the fellowship of believers, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good. It's a difference between just being a spectator and actually showing up and being a part of it. And God is inviting me to say, listen, this is the winning team right here. This is Team Jesus. Right? So get in the game. It's a whole lot more exciting, right? When you're playing and you win for Jesus, and it isn't just someone spectating on the side. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Should be just the page over. We're going to keep reading there. We're going to be in verse 32. Verse 32. Continues on, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, all the believers were of one heart and mind. Say that with me. One heart and mind. Again, because some of you guys, you thought you were exempt from that. One heart and mind. Amen? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work with them all that there were no needy persons among them. Amen. And so it's just talking about, listen, they shared. They cared for each other. They loved each other. They sacrificed. Right? It's going to cost you something. It is. It's going to cost you something. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that is more important than doing what God has called you to do, than playing your role in the church that God has placed you in. If you're here, you're here for a reason. You're not just here I said it last time. You're not here to be a spectator or a consumer. You're not here just to receive and to be a taker. We talked about, do we like takers in our lives? People that no matter what, they just take and take and take, and they're like leeches. They just suck the life out of you. they suck. You guys, I keep saying, you have some people like that in your life? You do, huh? You're honest, it's okay. We love them too. Jesus loves them too. Jesus loves the people in your life that suck, okay? It's okay. Once upon a time, we all sucked. We're apart from Jesus. We're sinners. We're still sinners. We're still flawed. Who's good but God, right? So it's okay. But listen, God wants us to stand in the gap for Him, right? It's like I told you guys when I went to that retreat. There was a lot of awesome testimonies and great points, but my favorite line was from that pastor that stood up and says, you know what? Man, God is doing some awesome things at our church, but you need to know it's not about me and how awesome I am and how awesome my wife is. He said, we suck, but God does not. Right? That's it. We're lowering the bar here. The God is awesome, and He's inviting us. And when we're serving, it does bring joy, it brings unity, it brings growth, and we can meet each other's needs, right? I'm going to say it time and time again. Your greatest need is not a financial need. Your greatest need is number one for God. And your second greatest need is a relationship with the body. That's it. The fourth point from what you just read is that love, right? Love unites the church and meets every need. Love unites the church and it meets every need. Not the kind of love the way that I said, oh, I love. Like, okay, I don't know about you guys. Have you guys gone back to Taco Bell since they had the new lineup, the throwback lineup? Some of you guys, I've gone back. They had the enchirito or the chili cheese burrito came back. I'm telling on myself. When I step on the scale, it doesn't lie, so I'm telling on myself. Okay, I've been going to Taco Bell. It's like the throwback, the decades menu. Man, I love it. I just said, like, I love the enchirito, the chili cheese. I love the chicken chalupa. That's why my wife said, you have lunch? I was like, yeah, I might have something. I'm going to Taco Bell. I'll have the $7 box of the chalupa and the burrito. Thank you. I love it. I'm in full-on confession mode today. Okay? Some of you guys love the Taco Bell too, yeah? All right, yeah, see, so not just me, thank you. But this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that as an example. I love that food. I'm not going to die for that food. I love it. It's just an expression that we say, yeah, that makes sense? Oh, I love this, or I love that, or I love your shoes. You're so cute. You guys talk like that too, huh? Do the hand motions. But what I'm saying is that that's not the kind of love that we're talking about right now. What kind of love are we talking about? Man, I'm talking about the love that's going to cost you something. What have you heard me say? It's like you never love somebody until you have absolutely what? Suffered for that person. Not so you're like, man, that's a different kind of love. That's not the way that I love a chalupa or the way that you love your girlfriend's shoes. I'm talking about when you love somebody to say, listen, I see you and I love you, flaws and all. When you need me, you call me. I love you like that. Flaws and all, man. There's so many sometimes where I hurt your feelings. You might hurt me, but let's talk about it because we love God. And I'm here for you, right? Let's show grace for one another. That's a different kind of love. Make sense? It's not the love that's keeping score. Well, that person looked at me the wrong way or... he wasn't helping me when I put the curtains down. He was sitting down talking. She was doing this and that. I'm not talking about all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about loving each other sacrificially. Why? Because you think that's the way that Jesus loves us that way? You think that Jesus loves me the way that I love a chalupa? No. He sacrificed. He gave his life. I know I'm lying. It's funny. But listen, we're called to be a Christian, right? It's going to cost you something. Amen. He was going to be a Christian whether he wanted to or not. Some of you guys got that. It's going to cost you something, is what I'm trying to say. And so just get over the fact, just say, yes, it is going to cost me something. And yes, I love God and I love this church and I love you through the thick and thin. And if I ever, and I'm going to keep saying this, if I ever disappoint you as your teacher and as a lead pastor here, you need to know that I love you and I'm flawed and I make mistakes. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Right? I'm here to serve you out of an overflow and abundance for what God has done for me, of how much He loves me. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're here to do. Right? We're a small church, but we're the best church, right? The best looking church in Sanger. The smartest church in Sanger. That's right. That's right. It's all right. You know what? We can have fun in church, man. It's not going to be like we're so religious, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. He said, everybody, come on. We're not, God is God. We have to stop taking ourselves so seriously, like being so religious. God came to do away with all that stuff. He came to be what? Real with relationship. So listen, it's all right. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give. You don't want to be that kind of person that sucks. Sucks the life of the church. Right? You don't want to be that person. Nobody wants to be that person, really. Right? Because ultimately, let me just be honest with you. When you're connected to God and connected to Jesus, you have everything that you need. You do. Right? So sometimes you have people that are on your back like that. You need to connect them to Jesus. You need to connect them to God. We're here to encourage, to walk alongside them, to point them to the one who is the healer, who is a redeemer, who is a savior. But we're here to love on them too. Make sense? And that means getting in the middle of the weeds and getting in the middle of the drama and being okay and standing in the gap a little bit. Right? You have some, you know some people that are dramatic. You have some people, yeah. Somebody, you chicken wings, somebody else over there. Somebody said amen really loud. That's right. That's right. Okay. Somebody control their kid over there. But love unites the church and it meets every need, right? And so it only starts for what? Our devotion to God first and then to the church. And if you get it, man, if you get, I say, listen, when you get Jesus, you get God and you get everything. And then everything else starts to flow from that. But God has called you to be a part of this body. Get in the game. But God has called you with gifts and talents and abilities to serve Jesus, not me. It's not about me. It's about serving God and doing what He wants us to do together. Amen? So what do you have to do, right? It means you got to examine your heart. We talked about it. We sang that song, right? What, lead me, right, into love. The way that you want me to love. Are you guys remember that song that we sang? I will build my life. We got to ask God to lead us. To make us whole. It's going to cost you something. So you got to examine your heart, right? Are you doing it because you just feel like, are you giving? Are you showing up because you think it's the right thing to do? It's a religious thing to do? Oh, I got to go. I better go because hopefully the pastor will give a good message or it's the right thing to do. It makes me feel good when I go to church on Sunday. I check in the box. Check. I'm doing good. Right? That's not what God intended. It's good. But that's not what God intended. Right? So we examine our hearts. Are we giving out of love or just out of habit or just to feel like we're doing the works that are required? I want to receive a little bit. I need just enough Jesus in my life to feel good about myself. Just enough Jesus to feel like, oh, I'm encouraged for the week. Just enough. Jesus didn't love you that way. He gave all of Himself. Make sense? If you approach your relationships that way, how do you think it's going to work out? Just enough. I'm going to talk to my wife just enough so she'll make dinner. I'll do just enough so So she'll do the laundry. I'll talk to my kids just enough so that, what is that? We devote ourselves fully into those relationships. Does that make sense? And so you're called to love the church the same way. The second thing you have to do is that you have to commit, right? Your resources, your time, your talent, and your treasure. Recognize that it belongs to God before your life doesn't even belong to you. Everything that you do is an act of worship. Everything you do is an act of worship. A worship to God, or a worship to yourself, or a worship to the world. What are you worshiping? And when it means that we have to commit ourselves, right, it means it's going to cost us something. So just the same way that I shamed myself, I'm going to have to stop eating Taco Bell. Because to commit to that, right, I have to tighten my belt. Like I'm tightening my belt for my diet, because my belt, I'm on the last button right here already. This is a true story, I'm on the last one. I got to graduate to the 38 belt if I don't stop eating Taco Bell. So I'm going to have to tighten the belt a little bit. It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something. That's all I'm saying. The second thing you have to do is what? You got to release your grip a little bit. It's hard to give when you're walking around like this. Make sense? It's hard to give when you have a closed fist on things. It's impossible. You can't. If you try to give with a closed fist, what happens? You're not giving, right? You got to open hand, right? God is calling you to be a giver. In fact, he tells you in 2 Corinthians to be a cheerful giver, not to give out of compulsion, which is why I will tell you time and time again, I'm never going to peer pressure you to give. Why? Because it's in the Word. If you feel peer pressured, like, oh, well, I better give, because no, it's like, read 2 Corinthians. It's in there. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of compulsion or peer pressure. Give because that's what God, because you've received freely from God. And I say this is where you get to build up, you get to exercise that. And your giving is a spiritual discipline. It is because God knows that we're going to be what? Selfish. And I'll always say this, and I'm just the last I'm going to say is like, listen, if somebody walks up to you on the street and they says, I'll give you $100 if you give me 10 back, and this is just about the tithe, you should always take that deal. Make sense? Because God gives it all to you anyway. And it all belongs to Him. This is why I'm going to say that this church doesn't need your money and God doesn't need your money. He invites you to be disciplined to build up His kingdom by giving. So you have to tighten your belt a little bit. And so I'm going to stop eating chalupas this week. Sad. Sad face emoji. Crying eyes emoji. The second thing is he wants you to what? You can't outgive God, right? You can't. He's giving it to you. So he's saying, listen, give freely. Give your time, give your talents. Give of you, right? This is the one thing that I just, oftentimes you're like, the person, we want to be in relationship with God. We want to be in relationship with each other. I have some old friends in the back, right? I don't need anything from you guys. I'm glad that you are here. Make sense? I'm happy to see you. And so what do we do when we give ourselves over to the body of Christ? We give ourselves. And that's all that God really wants. He wants us, and then he wants us to mimic his love for the church. He says, man, I gave my son on the cross for you and for the church. Will you give yourself to me? And will you love my church that way? And he's inviting us to that. Now we have the opportunity to just say, hey, this message just washed over me. It's like, oh, it was a good message. You might be like the Matrix and be like, that was for somebody else. Now the message is for you. That God loves you. And he wants you to love the church like that. Because he gave his life for the church. Make sense? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your kindness, Lord God. Thank you for today's word, Lord, that you want us to love you first, to be devoted to you first, and then to love the church, to recognize that we are part of the body, that we are important, And we're called to belong, Lord God, that on the outside, Lord, outside these walls, we don't belong. We don't fit in. We don't look the certain way. We're too short. We're too fat. We're too whatever. Too brown. Too white. Whatever. Here in the church, in the body of believers, we belong. We belong to you, Lord God. Help us to be devoted to you, Lord God, and to your church. So, Father God, I know sometimes when we preach a message about the church, might be some previous church hurts, people that have hurt us, Lord God, that have caused our love, gotten in the way, Lord God, haven't felt your love through the church, Lord God. I know, Lord, I just pray for healing. I pray for forgiveness. I pray for reconciliation. I pray, Lord God, that we would be able to surrender those hurts and those pains to you, Lord God, and to be able to start anew, afresh, just the same way that every day you give us a new day, Lord God, and we start. Your mercies are renewed every single day. And so, Lord God, if there's somebody here that has had a past hurt, a past pain, a past trauma even, Lord God, I pray for healing. I pray for forgiveness. Lord God, even in this church, Lord, there's somebody that maybe feel slighted or wrong, Lord God. I pray that we would have mercy upon each other, Lord God. The way this same way that you have mercy and grace upon us. That we would love each other deeply, Lord God. By recognizing that you've given us talents and abilities to glorify your kingdom, to build them up and to exercise them here in this church. That you're inviting us to serve the body, Lord God. That every part of the body and every person that is here is important. And you're calling us to give ourselves to you and give ourselves to the bride, your church. Father God, forgive us, Lord, for our sins. God, when there's even 5 or 10 people, Lord, gathered in the room, there is some real pain, some real hurt, some real conflict, Lord God. We don't mean to make jokes about those things, Lord God. Anxiety, fear, depression, heartache, Lord God, grief, those are all real. But Lord God, you came, Lord, to meet every single one of those needs. You came to break all of those bonds and all of those chains, Lord God. And then we can be made whole. Lord Jesus, you might have been speaking to somebody right now, Lord God. Maybe they don't know who you are. Maybe they do know, but they've walked away. And you're calling them into a deeper relationship right now, Lord God. So while I'm praying, Lord, and Holy Spirit, while you are working, I pray, Lord God, that you would meet that person right now. And Lord, if that person has never given their life to you, Lord, will you continue, Holy Spirit, to just knock? To do your work, Lord God. You go ahead. We just make the introduction. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, it's very simple. Come back to the cross. It's a very simple prayer. I often make the invitation here. If that's you this morning, I just want you to follow along with this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Lord Jesus, thank you for being patient and kind and merciful with me. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for coming and surrendering your life on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I want to be right with you, Lord. I want you to be Lord of my life. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick of doing this life on my own. And I need you as Lord. That's you this morning. Pray that prayer in earnest for the first time. Or if you recommitted your life, come see me afterwards. We want to love you, want to encourage you, want to be with you on this journey of faith. God, for the rest of us, continue, Lord God, to draw us near to you, Lord. Set us ablaze and on fire, Lord. Give us a new appetite for you, Lord God, to seek you out with all of our hearts, Lord, because your word says when we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you and deepen that relationship, Lord God. And through that, Lord God, we can deepen our relationship through the church. So thank you again for your goodness and your kindness, Lord, and what you're doing, Lord God, in the life of this church. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.